Well, good morning to you all. It's good to be with you again here, be in God's house, worship, enter into worship here with you all. It's a lovely day to do that. Really enjoyed the time of singing, worship, sharing together thus far. It's been good. I think I have to say I think my family is a little abbreviated this morning too. We all came down, stayed the night with the Lindens. Appreciated their hospitality, but yeah, this morning one of my sons was feeling a little down or something, so my wife and a couple of them stayed behind for now anyway. Yeah, it's good to be with you all, and God bless you as you work for Him here. Did God need to use Gideon? That question I think came up, and I agree. I don't think he did, but somehow He chooses to use ordinary people. He chooses to use men, and I feel that this morning. Does God need to use me? Well, probably He could find someone else as well, but I want to be faithful in doing what God has called me to. For a message this morning, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Back home at Cornerstone, my home church there, I've been working at what I've called Sermon on the Mount series. In Matthew's gospel, that includes chapters 5, 6, and 7, and I've found it, there's a whole array of subjects covered in that, and it's been quite a lengthy series, and I don't think we'll nearly say everything that needs to be said until I'm done with that. But it's a couple of verses. I think we looked at a couple of verses mid-chapter here in the devotional. Enjoyed that. A couple of verses here I'd want to pull out here at the beginning of Matthew 6. And for the heading of my Bible, it calls this section Teachings on Giving. So that's a little bit the subject I want to look at this morning, and I won't share that because somehow I know that y'all need some encouragement or aren't doing so well or anything like that, but I just want to pull out what I find here in God's Word, and it applies for us all, does it not? I'll read this. Let's read these first four verses here of Matthew 6 to get started. Matthew 6, verse 1, Jesus talking here, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." I simply titled the message this morning, Principles of Christian Giving. Principles of Christian Giving. And we want to look at a few, pull out a few from these verses, pull out a few from some other verses, and I don't consider it to be all-inclusive this morning. But a few we want to look at here. Principles of Christian Giving. Title implies that not all giving is necessarily of a godly sort. And we know that. People give for a lot of different causes. Maybe they give for the environment or people in poverty, poor countries. Maybe they give to try to find the cure for cancer, or maybe for politics. You know, there's many foundations, there's many organizations that are run either mostly or perhaps altogether on donations, on people's giving. Think of St. Jude's Hospital, I think is one of those. Run on people, on donations. I'm told that Americans in 2024 gave a total of some 590 some billion to charitable causes. And I have no way, of course, to confirm that. It seems like a huge number. I can't hardly wrap my mind around that, how that could be. That's what they tell me. And you know, leading up to an election, you find that millions or billions maybe of dollars are spent on, you know, a certain candidate or party. A lot of money given for that. People are motivated to give for various reasons. And I believe many are noble and right causes that people give for. Maybe some are selfish reasons. Maybe some simply give for the tax benefits that they find. This morning, is giving a part of your Christian life this morning? Is a part of my life? Is an important part of my life? A necessary part of my Christian life? I believe, as a follower of Jesus, it should be an important part. You notice here in these verses, he doesn't say, if you do alms, do this. He says, when you do. It's assumed, I believe, Jesus assumes that his followers, the people he's talking to, will give. And of course, giving includes not just money, but, you know, time and other things. But I believe the context here this morning, of these verses, of giving alms, I believe that's talking mainly of money. So that's what I plan to speak on mostly, on of giving as far as, yeah, dollars. This morning I've simply chosen to use simple outline, chosen to use the word giving as an acrostic and pull out some principles here, words and phrases that have to do with our giving. All right. So I said I have a couple I'm pulling out of these verses, but I have a couple other verses that I would like to look at, and I thought I would enlist some of y'all's help in reading some of these verses. I think I have a handful of verses, five verses, or at least clusters of verses, that I'd like to just hand out, and I'll call out a reference, and maybe you can repeat it, and we'll look to you when we get there to read these verses. Who wants to take 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7? 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. Thank you. Proverbs 22, verse 9. All right, thank you. Proverbs 19, 17. All right, thank you. Can we have two from over here? Luke 11, 41. Thank you. And the last one I have is 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Thank you. All right. So the first phrase I have picked out here is in secret. Talking about things that pertain to our giving. One of the things that we find Jesus addressing here in these verses, and actually about half of this chapter, is the hypocrisy that he saw here. He addresses that in their giving and in their prayer, their praying, and in their fasting. And it's interesting, you know, each time he says, don't do like the hypocrites, because they do this. Don't pray like the hypocrites. Don't fast like the hypocrites do. And it doesn't say it here, but we know from other scripture that the scribes and Pharisees, he called them hypocrites. He called them this term many times. We can probably assume this was at least partly addressed to them. They were doing good deeds. And in this case, they were giving alms. They were giving to the poor, but it was an hypocrisy. It wasn't for real. They weren't doing it because they cared so much for the poor, but because they liked the attention. They liked the good public image that they got from it. Now, he talks here about, in verse 2, about sounding, don't sound a trumpet before you like they do. Now, some commentators think that that was maybe a figure of speech that Jesus was using there to get the point across. But then some think that this was possibly actually done, that perhaps it was blowing a trumpet for, you know, the supposed purpose of letting people know, letting the poor people know that here's money for you to meet their needs. I'm not sure if we know that for sure, how that all was, but whatever the case, there was some kind of show, I believe, made on the part of the ones giving to, you know, letting people know that, well, look what I did. I just gave this money. Money to the poor here, and you should take note. There was hypocrisy in it. And he says, Jesus says here, take heed. First words in this chapter, take heed. Beware of this tendency to want recognition. And so we need to sit up and take notice of that. Because I believe we all have that in us, don't we? That we want the approval of people, want the approval of others in some form or another. He says, don't do like the hypocrites do in their giving. They do it to be seen, but when you do your alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. You might say, well, what does that mean? Well, maybe you have a different understanding of that, but I personally feel that's a figure of speech. I feel it has to be, because we know hands are not independently controlled beings, however you want to say that, controlled by your mind. They're not independently operated. But Jesus, I believe, uses that terminology to make the point of doing whatever to keep your giving from being an outward show, that your alms may be in secret. Others don't need to know what you give. And so this morning, what is it that motivates my giving? What should motivate my giving as a Christian? Is it not the fact that I want to share what God has blessed me with? That I'm thankful for what Jesus has done for me? And that I want to share? I want to share that with others. I want to bless others as God has blessed me. It's because I actually care about them and the need they have. Whether it's food or clothing or shelter or money, or that they need the Lord, and maybe all of the above. As a Christian, I care about people. That should be my motivating, what motivates my giving. And you know, that desire to be recognized, it's such a lame motivation for giving, isn't it? And you know, as Christians, it better not be our motivation. So do the alms in secret. Do our giving in secret. And I very much appreciate our free will offerings, the way the things we have put in place to endeavor to keep it that way, as in secret. You know, there's many places you can go today and give, and you can get public recognition for it, for your giving. I'm not saying all those things are wrong necessarily. But I believe we should seek as much as possible to do our giving according to what Jesus said here, as in secret. All right, another principle for our giving. Let's have 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7, please.
But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
All right, thank you. I have for that one, not grudgingly, but cheerfully. All right. God loveth a cheerful giver. We should give cheerfully. I just really like that verse. You know, it just warms my heart to, it should just warm my heart to cheerful giving all the time, shouldn't it? Because God loves it. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves me when I give cheerfully. And you know, what more could you want? As a follower of Christ, what more could you want than God, that God is happy with you and loves you? You know, that should be the approval that we all are looking for. But somehow, you know, it just seems like it's pretty easy to, well, be like the man that I, a little short story I found in the article on giving that I came across some time back. It went like this. A man complained to his pastor, it's just getting to be one continuous give, give, give. He's a little disgruntled about all the giving, I guess. And the pastor replied, you have just given one of the best descriptions of Christianity that I have ever heard. And so we get those feelings sometimes. At least maybe I'm revealing myself. You ever felt that way? You know, this relative, it needs my support. Cam, they need more funds. My local church brotherhood. My conference brotherhood. My school, my family. Uncle Sam wants his share too. And then I still have, you know, I'm a little worried about my own business obligations. I need to cover them too, right? But in it all, you know, can I remember to give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, because I need to, or, you know, what will other people think if I don't give? Not do my giving that way, but cheerfully. God loveth a cheerful giver. And you know, as I was thinking about that, you know, maybe if I'm, you know, if I'm feeling a little begrudged to give when I can, am I really remembering where my blessings came from? Am I forgetting that they're not really mine? They're actually God's. They're what God has given to me. I'm just here as a steward. I wonder if I'm not forgetting that fact when I become a grudging giver. All right. Give not of necessity, but cheerfully. Okay, let's have Proverbs 22, verse 9. Okay, thank you. And also, let's have Proverbs 19, 17.
He that hath pity upon the poor, lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will be paid again.
Okay, thank you. There's at least one other translation renders that whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. But I want to bring out the generosity. We should give generously. He that hath a bountiful eye, it speaks of being generous. That's interesting. The last verse there, Proverbs 19:17, it's an interesting verse. You think about the wording there. It says, whosoever lendeth to the Lord. Think about that. Like, God would need to borrow something from us. God that made everything, has everything, gave us what we have. Let me think about lending to some, you know, our one of our good friend, maybe your good friend needs a little loan, needs a little lift. You're more than happy to help them out, sure. And I believe that's how it should be. We'd be more than happy to lend to the Lord, give to the Lord, like God would need something from us. But that's, he says, that's what we're doing when we're generous to the poor. And it says, God will repay. He will repay him. I don't know what all that means, what all that could entail, but I can imagine if God is repaying, that it's not going to be just the, you know, just so enough paid back, but a generous repayment is what I would, my mind would see there. And along with those verses, the verse from 2 Corinthians 9 that we just read, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. What's the picture there in that verse? The picture I get is of a farmer sowing seed. And he might say, you know, he might be tempted to say, I haven't bought seed very much, but you know, some of it is pretty pricey, right? You might say, well, that seed is so expensive. Surely we can, why don't we just plant it at half the rate they recommend, you know? Let's save a little. And he sows sparingly because of that. But it says he will reap also sparingly. And that's the picture that he used to describe our giving. We sow or we give sparingly, and we'll reap the same. We'll reap sparingly. Or we give bountifully, and we'll reap bountifully. And that's a challenging thought to me as I think about that. You know, is my giving or my lack of it, is it holding back what could be a bountiful harvest for me? It's a challenge to me. Generosity should be what describes the Christian's giving. We have a verse, I won't turn to it, but it's found, I believe, in 1 Timothy 6. It says, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, this is the part I want here, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You know, that's how God has given to us. I think many of us Americans, we have to admit, I hope we admit, that God has given us to us richly. He's been generous in his giving to us, and I believe we should endeavor to be that way as well. I also believe generous giving is sacrificial giving. I don't believe we'll spend more time on that part of it. Now maybe you're sitting here today and thinking, well, Mr. Preacher, all this talk of generous giving sounds really good. And I'd like to do that. I'd like to give a lot of money for God's work, for good causes, but I don't have it. I don't have a lot of money to give. Brings me to our next point here. Let's have Luke 11:41. They get my spelling right here. I have for that one, in proportion to what I have. Glad y'all have a nice wide place to write here. Ours at home, I think, is maybe half, and I'd probably be running out of space. in proportion to what I have. Give, rather give, give alms as such things as ye have. Let's see, was 1 Corinthians 16:2? Did I hand that one out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come.
Thank you. There it is again. As God hath prospered him. And so the principle is giving as God hath prospered, as I'm able, whether that be in much or in little. And I think many of us have to say that God has given us more than just a little. And that whole story of the widow that cast in the two mites comes to my mind. I don't have it in front of me here. But they were, you know, Jesus, the disciples, they were there observing, and there was large portions of money were going in. And they were commenting on, wow, they're really giving a lot, you know. This widow comes in, casts these two little coins in, clink, clink. And probably nobody said too much, okay? That was a little bit. But Jesus said, remember what he said, she gave more than all of them. She gave it all. You know, I believe God doesn't see the dollar amounts like we do many times. But the teaching here is giving as God hath prospered. And it's a beautiful thing when Christians do this, give in this way. Give sacrificially as God hath prospered. And the brother that has more gives more. The brother that has less, or whoever, gives less, and the needs are met as God intended. I believe it's a principle that God set as an example for us. Back there in Exodus, I believe it's chapter 16, where they have the children of Israel. We find the children of Israel gathering manna, I believe it was. And it says, some gathered more and some gathered less. And at the end of the day, they divvied it all out. And the ones that were really ambitious and got a huge pile, they didn't have too much. And the ones that, you know, just gathered a little bit, they had enough too. And so I believe it's a principle that is for us. That's relevant to our giving today. In fact, we find, I didn't have those verses right here, but it's in 2 Corinthians 8. We find Paul referring to that. He's talking about the churches that shared, that gave, shared with each other, helping each other out. And he refers back to that very principle of giving, as some having more, some giving more, and some less, and all the needs met. And I believe it's a beautiful thing when we as Christians follow that principle, and God can meet the needs. All right. Another one I have is give systematically. We just had the verse read there from 1 Corinthians 16, that verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. So the church there at Corinth, they were to do this offering, take up an offering on the first day of the week. And so I believe it's biblical to do as we do today. I believe there's more than one system or a way we could do that. Whatever the case, I believe taught is regular giving. Systematic giving. I believe that's an important part of giving. And many of us can attest to that, you know, if our giving is just a random thing, oh, whenever I think of it, and it's just random, probably most of the time it just wouldn't happen. but forget about it. And so make it a regular part of your life. Young folks, if you have an income, a paycheck coming in, start yourself in that habit of regular giving. It's a habit that'll be a blessing to you. You know, it's pretty easy to tell yourself, I know because I've been there not too long ago, that, oh, you know what, I'll start giving regular sometime when, you know, I get the car paid off or I'm a little more financially established. It feels like there's everything weighing on you. Do yourself a favor and start regular, systematic giving in spite of those things. Develop a habit of giving because, trust me, those excuses, they never go away. Seems like maybe they actually increase, I'm not sure. And, you know, if your giving is simply, let's see if there's anything left over at the end of the month, well, then we'll decide if we have something to give. Trust me, it seems like there's never just all that much left because it finds other places to go. Okay, maybe enough on that. Give systematically, make it a regular part of your life. And maybe you're wondering what I'm going to put down for the word that starts with V. I'd simply put down vindicated by God. Maybe you think of other words that would fit just as well. Back to Matthew chapter 6 there, if you're maybe you're still have your Bible open there. There is a reward for your giving. And Jesus says, there's a reward for giving like the hypocrites do. He says they have their reward. They have the glory of men. You know, people take note and they say, oh, wow. You see how much Mr. Jones gave. He gave all that pile of money. That's impressive. He's a good fella. There's a reward there. Have people take note. There's also a reward for those that no one sees, but God alone sees their giving. They don't have that recognition from other people. Jesus says it pretty straightforward here. He says, if you're doing your alms to be seen of men, give no reward of your Father in heaven. Verse 1 there. It's pretty straightforward language. I read that to say it's one or the other. You know, I think I mentioned already that the praise of people, to have people take note, have that recognition, as attractive as it is to us at times, it's such a fleeting thing. And this morning, I believe it's the reward that God has. That's the one we rather want. He says, shall reward thee openly. I don't know what all that means, but I believe it's a reward that will be worth it all. This morning, as I said, I don't share this message because I feel you have a lack here. I'm sure you're a brotherhood that is putting to practice these principles. I'm happy to be part of a brotherhood that is very active in putting these principles to practice. I'm very, very much appreciative of that in my experience. And I want to do that, have this in my own life. God loveth a cheerful giver. God bless you all as we endeavor to put this to practice. Let's pray.